And welcome back to the Bicycle Indiana podcast, Life Behind Bars. Margaret B here, executive director. Super stoked again about this topic, which is basic health, general health. And of course, we had an episode about a week or so ago with an OBGYN physician who talks about the importance of understanding and listening to your body, but also kind of taking note of what your body feels like and when to take action and when to see a healthcare professional about things that might be going on and off the bike. But this second discussion is with an individual who is a healthcare professional, a nutritionist in Carmel, who helps a variety of different clients with their healthcare needs, and kind of really reminding us to always see your PCP, your annual exam, and get blood work done, because your blood work and labs and other, you know, things that doctors can take a look at can really, you know, dial in what's going on and what maybe needs to change and what can help benefit you in the long term. So I hope you really enjoy this discussion. And here is our little disclaimer, just chit-chatting about the importance of really making sure you connect with your healthcare professional about things that are going on, because we are not healthcare professionals. We are here just to educate. So enjoy. So before we start the show, we'd like to take a moment to remind our listeners that Bicycle Indiana's podcast, Life Behind Bars, are for educational and entertainment purposes only. None of the information contained within this podcast should be construed as medical, legal, and/or professional advice in any manner. Information on our podcast and website are presented to motivate and inform our community members about cycling-related topics. We recommend all of our listeners consult with their own medical providers and other professionals related to any of the topics discussed. Thanks so much, and we hope you enjoy the show.
All right, so part two to talking about health on the bike, nutrition, as well as possibly hormones. I have a wonderful woman who I've met through mutual friends. I've attempted to ride with her husband, but he's too fast. But I have Chris Tanner on the call today, and I'm really excited to have her here to talk about some really important things when it comes to cycling and just overall health. So welcome, Chris.
Thanks, Margaret. Thanks for having me.
I would love this to take this moment for you to introduce yourself to our listeners and who you are and what you do.
Okay, great. Again, Chris Tanner, wife of Matt Tanner. People know him through Roll Fast and all the things he does in the community for cycling. So I am his other half. I started in the fitness and nutrition space really when I was 12. So 1981. You know, really got into bodybuilding. It was the early 80s. Everybody was really into, you know, the aerobics. And I was not into that. It was all about going to the gym with my older brother, you know, that kind of stuff. And then in high school, you know, took classes on nutrition. And then in college at Butler, did the same thing. The 80s, everything I learned in the 80s is completely debunked. So, you know, the fact that the nutrition that I learned, I had to unlearn through the next, you know, this past, you know, 30 plus years. What I have come to love and really get excited about is the research, you know, learning about what's new, what's the latest RCT that's come out, you know, that kind of stuff. And so that's my passion. And so I wanted to turn that into something that I could help people. So I started my own coaching company back in 2012. And it's just really blossomed into like people all over the country. I have people in Canada. I have people in Mexico. It's people that, you know, are tired of working inside that allopathic system, can't seem to find the answers for what they, you know, what their ailment is. And it's fine. You know, I think there's space for everybody. And so that's why people come to me for something different. I'm not an inside the box girl. I'm going to look at all of an extensive a blood work panel. I'm going to look at your sleep. I'm going to look at your environment. I'm going to look at, you know, the stress in your life, those kinds of things. And then I put together a plan that works with your lifestyle, right? Because you don't live in a bubble. You know, you can be a CEO of a major corporation, or you can be a CEO of your home. Both of them are stressful, and both of them need to be managed. And there's only certain things that you can fix, right? But I feel, and I believe, based on my client's successes, is if you can get that nutrition dialed, everything else kind of is easier.
Absolutely. And that was my next question. You are in Carmel. However, you have clients everywhere. You said Canada, Mexico, you said that you listed off a ton. So that's great. Virtual is obviously a great tool in this field.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
Okay. So I have some really interesting, like I've said, I've learned a lot about health recently because of my own health, but I have some great topics that I want to kind of dive into. We did have a previous podcast with VQ Labs. If you're familiar with that, they're in Carmel. Go to our website or our podcast website that lists all the different episodes and topics we've talked about. But VQ Labs does a lot of nutrition and testing too. But this, I think, is something even more interesting to talk about. And we're going to talk about some great things. So I'm going to first jump into blood work. What is the importance of getting annual blood work? Shame on me. I got my first kind of annual blood work and it was eye-opening, you know, and it's good and it's bad and you can learn from it. But what's important and why is it important to get blood work, Chris?
Well, you need to know what's going on inside so you can fix what you're mad about outside.
Sure. Yeah. Right? Right. No, that's great.
And I think the problem is the insurance companies only pay for a very baseline a set of blood work. Most of my people, and I have medical doctors that I coach, which is interesting. They will even say, I can't, you know, pull these tests because it's just not covered, whatever that means. So I have a list of blood work I like to see. And, you know, thanks to, you know, 2020 and everything going telemed.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. There's tons of websites out there that you can go and get your blood work done without having to go through your doctor. And I've scoured the internet and I found some really inexpensive places, and I just give my clients the information, right? I'm just a researcher. I give my clients the information. Here's some websites that you can take a look at, see if they're cheaper than going to your doctor, or maybe your doctor will cover this. You know, it's the options that people need.
Sure.
So those blood work is like super important. No one gets their hormones tested. I get mine tested every 3 months, and I have for 30 years, right? So I have this baseline of me going from my late 20s to now in my late mid to late 50s, that whole, you know, baseline and then the progress that you see and how your body ages is like amazing. And so when I get a young person that I'm coaching, I'm like, oh, you're so lucky.
Because we're catching it early.
Right. Because you get to look at it now. Right. You know, I have 10 years ago, my core clientele was 50 to 70. Now it's 28 to 80. So these young people are coming to me with problems. Right. Yeah. PCOS, low testosterone, autoimmune diseases. Like, it's crazy. And so those are the people that I'm like, get this core blood work done. We'll take a look at it and optimize those. What people don't understand about blood work either is when you go in to the lab and get your blood work drawn, they're going to give you a range of normal. That range of normal is just a random selection of people getting their blood work. So if 2.7% of Americans are healthy, and that study was done in 2016, so God only knows what it is now. Right. 2.7% of Americans are considered healthy. What do you think that range of normal is on that blood work? It's fat and sick. Mm-hmm. That's the normal range. So when your doctor looks at the limited blood work he does or she does, oh, you're normal. Well, yeah,
right.
I'm fat and sick like everybody else. Right. I don't want to be that. I want to feel good. I want to have the energy and the capacity to be able to do big things.
Right.
So that's why blood work is so important.
Yeah.
Now, just because you don't have blood work or just because you have blood work doesn't mean you're not going to have to change your diet.
Right. Right.
Your diet's going to change. People don't come to me and say, Chris, I feel amazing. You don't need me. That's right. How people come to me. People come to me because they literally have tried everything and nothing's working.
Right.
So blood work is super, super important.
Right. No, that's a great, you know, thing to talk about. And I feel like a lot of cyclists or a lot of endurance athletes are stubborn and they just like, no, it's fine. I'm fine. I'll just keep riding my bike or I'll just keep running and just consuming and eating and doing whatever I've been doing because I'm okay. Right.
Well, you guys like to suffer.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, I've never met a group that likes to suffer more than cyclists or triathletes.
I know. We're dumb sometimes, aren't we?
It's crazy.
Type 2 fun, right?
I guess. Apparently, I don't do it. So right? I don't get it. I understand it, I guess, but.
So I wrote this down when you were talking about blood work. What are all, you know, you said there's obviously a variety of different things online that people can, you know, have access to for blood work. What do you think about those tests that test like food sensitivity and gut health and all that? What are your opinions on that? I don't know if you do have opinions or not.
Yeah. Food sensitivities I've been doing since, you know, my late 20s. It changes all the time, right? Because your microbiome changes all the time.
Sure.
You literally can eat something and your body's going to change.
Right.
All the food you eat is just supposed to be fuel to create energy. And if you're eating the wrong food, you're not making the fuel to be able to create the energy. And so, you know, wild example, you know, 15 years ago, I couldn't eat blueberries. I'd eat blueberries and it came up on my sensitivity test that blueberries aren't good for me. Now, at this point in my life with being postmenopausal, there's different things that show up on my food sensitivity test. Again, I want to see what your body doesn't really like. Because why would you eat something that is going to make it harder for your body to create the energy it needs to do big things?
Right.
Right. So just push it out of the way and let your body be able to be at its optimal, you know, state.
Right.
I'm not saying that those foods are going to kill you. You know, I don't really know about that, but there are certain foods that are irritating you for some reason. So just take them out. It's right. Not a big deal. Right. And I think that's the thing that people get bent about is like, I can't eat blueberries. Okay. Well, there's hundreds of other things you can eat. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's the thing that people focus on, that thing I can't eat, but the things you can eat are going to make you faster on the bike, going to make you sleep better, going to make you a better mom, going to make you a better wife, going to make, you know, everything better.
Yeah.
So I don't do drugs. I'm sure they're fun. You know what I mean? I'm just saying there are things that I don't do because I know in the end, it's probably going to be bad for me.
Right.
Even though it's fun at the time, blueberries taste delicious, but I haven't had a blueberry in years.
Right.
I'm fine with that. I don't care.
Okay. You have so many other options.
Right. And that's food sensitivities, right? You're going to do it and you're going to do it every year. And every year that's going to have some different things pop up. Don't freak out. Just take them out. It's fine.
Right.
And then the microbiome tests, like the oat tests and things like that, mm-hmm. The acid tests, they're all great. Mm. But changing your diet is going to change those tests really fast. So when I do like tests like that, it's kind of, or for like mast cell activation or, you know, any kind of autoimmune, you know, you can do all those tests for that too. And I'm not saying don't do them. I'm saying, sure, test them and see, but those mm-hmm. aren't going to be tests that you may have to do year after year, because basically you just want to feel better.
Right.
And so I don't really care what the test says once you start feeling better. Right. Because that test may or may not say that you still have the antibodies. It may or may not say, you know, everything is going in the right direction. It's not going in the wrong direction if you feel better.
Sure.
I think all those tests are great, but the ones that I like to see, thyroid, master hormone. I'm like, you got to check out, you got to make sure your thyroid's fine. Because if your thyroid isn't working right, none of your other downstream hormones are going to work. Right. And if you're not getting the cholesterol turns into pregnenolone, the pregnenolone turns into, you know, DHEA, and it turns into all of the other downstream hormones. So if you're not eating enough fat and animal products and your cholesterol is too low, you're not making any of those downstream hormones.
Sure.
So those I think are the most important things to look at.
Sure. So blood work, tests, all that is really important to how you feel. And to our listeners, food is fuel, right?
Yeah. Or disease.
All right. So I wrote blood work and then peptides. Let's talk about peptides.
Okay. Peptides are the new shiny penny, right? Everybody's like, it's all over TikTok. All of my clients sending me, what do you think about this peptide? My backstory on peptides is in 2000, I started using peptides. So 25 years ago, they weren't widely available in the United States. And I fortunately had a Russian sister-in-law, so I could buy them overseas and just make sure she could translate for me. But now in 2004, probably 2005, is when my doctor, who my functional doctor, started getting them. He's one of the original International Peptide Society doctors, which is cool. And so he started getting them here in the United States. And so I started using them from him. I love them. But the thing that is concerning for me is people are jumping on that peptide bandwagon before they get their nutrition straight. Mm-hmm. Right. The GLPs, people love the GLPs. I love the GLPs. The problem with the GLPs is it's not going to teach somebody how to eat a proper diet.
Right.
It's just going to give them the result. You know, the weight loss, the fat loss, all those things are going to happen, which is great because, again, the less fat you have, the less problems you have when it comes to inflammation.
Right.
But then what are you going to do with that? Are you going to take it the rest of your life? Okay, that's fine. But do you want to learn how to then eat properly so you never have to worry about that? I don't know. That's the dilemma, because these peptides are really that effective. That do people want to take the extra effort to learn what to eat?
Yeah.
You know.
No, that's great. So the next topic is body composition. I believe you said comp, but composition optimization. So let's talk about that.
Okay. Let's go back to BQ Labs. And again, that company is amazing. They have a DEXA scan. And mm-hmm. I think everybody should get a DEXA scan. Jeremy is the owner of VQ Labs, and it will change your life because the scale only tells you what gravity is doing to your body.
Right.
I can weigh 125 pounds and be 25% body fat, or I can be 125 pounds and be 15% body fat.
Yeah.
And it's a totally different look on the outside and the inside of your body. So I have a lot of people that are super focused on the scale. I get it. But sometimes that scale is going to be deceiving because you're adding muscle mass, you're adding bone, and the scale isn't really moving. So I have to say, well, how are your pants fit? What's the size of your waist now? You know, what are the size of your biceps now? Those kinds of things are going to change faster than that scale. So body composition is super important. My husband, Matt, was a traditional cyclist, ate quite a few carbs, and I put him on a carnivore diet. This is years ago. I put him on a carnivore diet.
How'd that go?
Well, he wasn't real happy about it at the beginning. And he, you know, he has since transitioned into a carnivore diet. But this, when he did it, he was 175 pounds and 16% body fat. Now, you know my husband. He looks great. Mm-hmm. He did it for 90 days and was still 175 pounds. But he goes back to Jeremy and gets a DEXA scan, and now he's 11% body fat. He's just shredded now. So mm-hmm. same weight on the scale. So if you're going by the scale, you're like, well, Chris gave me this terrible diet because it's not working. I still weigh 175 pounds, but he lost 5% body fat. So
and again, it's a lot.
Yeah. So he added it then into the muscle because he weighed the same.
Sure.
Yeah.
So if somebody, let's say, could not go to get one of those scans at VQ Labs, what would you recommend? Are you able to help people measure and kind of figure out that body composition? Or is that something that they can kind of figure out at home or a physician can do?
Yeah. I mean, they can take their measurements. It's super easy. Take a waist measurement, take a bicep measurement, take a neck measurement. you know, and then watch those change, right? I take a thigh measurement. The more you measure on your body, the more you're going to see that body composition change. And I think a lot of time, you know, I have a woman that doesn't want to step on the scale because she doesn't want to see that number.
Yeah.
She comes to me every week and the notch on her belt is bigger and bigger. The tail on her belt is getting so big that she now has to go to another belt.
Sure.
And for her, that's success. So, you know, you don't have to go to VQ. They have new scales out that are pretty accurate too. InBody, same thing. InBody isn't going to be as accurate as DEXA, but a lot of gyms have InBodies for free. And it's not about what it says. It's the trend, right? If it says, whatever it says, 25%. And then, you know, a month from now, it's 21%. You're like, whoo, you know, that's a good sign. You want to see the trend of body fat going down and the trend of muscle composition, you know, going up.
Yeah. So no, that's great. It is amazing though, technology, and what technology has changed, you know, the nutrition world, as well as just in general, data wise, being able to, understand maybe a little bit more what your body is doing.
Right. And knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go see a doctor one time a year and him to even begin to understand what's going on with me. He doesn't, and he can't. He can't take a 15-minute, you know, call with you and know what's going on. You know what's going on with your body. So why wouldn't you want to know all the information going on with your body? So then when you do have an issue and you do go to see a medical doctor, you can say, oh, this is the trend. This is what's been happening to me, right? It just helps everybody to be able to stay healthy and fix something that may go wonky, you know?
Sure, sure. Okay. My next topic is, well, we talked about this, but blood work optimization. So we've obviously talked about data, getting blood work, getting the right tests done. For you as a professional in this industry, how are you, and again, don't give your secrets away, but how are you able to then apply that to a client's, you know, life to help change for the better?
Again, because I've looked at thousands of people's lab work. I mean, from, you know, for 25 years, I've looked at either my blood work, my family's blood work, my blood client's work. Blood work. Yeah. Right. And things stand out, right? You see patterns over the years. You know, working with a functional doctor, as long as I have too, he has like given me immense knowledge on what to look for and the you know, the things that stand out. Let's say you have a low thyroid, right? Are you a mom? Because when you're pregnant, your child will take your thyroid because that is the first organ that is produced when you're creating a baby. Mm-hmm. So if you have a low thyroid to begin with and you have a couple babies, I had four children, you're going to have a low thyroid, right? Because we don't eat thyroid. My sister-in-law, Ukrainian, love her. She has a perfect thyroid. You know why? Because she eats thyroid in her food. Ooh. They eat fish head soup and they eat animals with their thyroid in there. So we haven't eaten a thyroid in what, 50, 70 years here in the United States because they took it out of our food supply. Well, yeah, we're going to have a problem with thyroid. So you can eat thyroid. You can get a desiccated thyroid. You can, you know, you can go on medication if you want to. These are just things that I would tell my client. Hey, your thyroid is not optimized. The normal range is, I think, 0.4 on some labs, 0.45 to 5.5. And if you're over one, you're not optimized. Right. So those are the things that, again, the doctor's going to look at it. And let's say your TSH is 3.3. Doctor's like, oh, you're in the normal range. Well, I'm tired. My hair's falling out. I'm always cold. I keep gaining weight. Those all sound like thyroid. Could be. It could be other things too. But if you look at the test and your test is not optimized, I'd start there. You know, that's just it. It's like looking at your tests and finding out what's not optimized is the first start. Now, in the 15 years that I've been coaching, I've had one unicorn. She had perfect, I'm telling you, she had perfect blood work.
Yeah.
And the thing that was wrong with her is she was eating too many oxalates and it was causing her to create this cyst. And it was just an oxalate cyst, but the blood all showed me that she was perfect. And she was in her mid-50s woman. And I told her, I said, I've never seen perfect blood work.
Yeah.
Like never. And so then I had to go down another rabbit hole, right? It's like, right. Your blood's great.
Right. One of my endocrinologists kind of explained to me, and I'm going to probably do a horrible job at reiterating this, but he was kind of explaining to me of how an endocrinologist versus a, and again, I'm not a medical professional. I mean, or a physician, obviously, you know, take my words with a grain of salt, but, he was explaining how PCPs or general physicians versus an endocrinologist, what they differ is the endocrinologist starts with blood work and then works backwards, right? Versus a PCP, or a general, you know, not internist, but internal medicine or family practice would then look at symptoms and then kind of go, you know, back that route versus, you know, going from the molecular level to finding a diagnosis. And again, I'm doing a horrible job at explaining this, but I thought it was interesting that the endocrinologist, you know, kind of took time to explain that to me.
Right. And again, that's great. However, our body is all connected.
Yeah.
So your brain isn't outside your body. Your belly isn't, your gut isn't outside your body. And so when I look at specialists, they're very focused on that part of the body. But why wouldn't you want to know about the symptoms?
Sure.
I mean, again, I go back to that thyroid, that TSH number. You see a TSH at 3.3. And if all you're looking at is the blood work and it's in normal range, you're like, well, you're normal. So all those symptoms are irrelevant.
Right.
I don't look at it that way. I look at it like you are having symptoms. So something is not right. And that 3.3, in my opinion, not a doctor, only a researcher. Right.
Not a doctor. Disclaimer.
Not a doctor.
Chris is not a doctor.
No, just a researcher. And research shows that if you're at a 3.3, that's really too high. Your body is working too hard for your thyroid to do its job. You want it to be like one or below.
Yeah.
So I think it has to, you got to do all those things. You just, you know, you have symptoms.
Right.
People come to me and they're like, well, I'm on thyroid, but I feel terrible. Well, then what you're taking isn't working, right? Sure.
Advocate for your own health, and maybe hiring a coach such like you will help understand the numbers that are being delivered to you on your lab work.
Yes, absolutely. And Margaret, I coach people to know what to look for and what it means. I'm not a coach that holds your hand through the rest of your life. I want to give you the knowledge that I have and give you the ability to see these things on your own.
Yeah.
And then you can stay optimized.
Yeah.
You don't need me. You know, not 90 days with me, you should learn everything you need to learn. And then
you boot. Yeah. Yeah. Kick them out.
And you go.
So I wrote this down because we've been talking about physicians, obviously, and I've heard this term and you've used it already, functional physician. So what is a functional physician compared to, let's say, my PCP?
Allopathic medicine is different than some functional medicine doctors. Some functional medicine doctors do a lot of allopathic medicine in the sense that they're going to find it, they're going to diagnose and they're going to treat it with medication. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. Or if you're a surgeon, you're going to cut it out, you know, whatever. But functional medicine, depending on what kind you are, mine is a microbiologist. And so they're going to look at whether it's a, you know, whether it's a terrain issue, you know, what's going on in your body that is causing, what's the imbalance in your body that's causing these symptoms or causing cancer or causing autoimmune? Like what needs to be balanced to be able to relieve your body of these issues? You know, type 2 diabetes is it's a great one. It's insulin resistance.
Right.
Well, if your body can't make enough or makes too much insulin, your body's out of balance. Well, why is it out of balance? Right. An allopathic doctor is going to say, well, just take metformin. Right. Or just put inject more insulin. Right. Sure.
Sure.
That doesn't fix the problem. And that doesn't give you a reason why the problem's there to begin with. So that's what in my mind, that's what a functional doctor should do, is find out the reason
why the root cause.
The root cause, correct, of what is going on. Because we're not a deficient, we don't have deficiency in metformin.
Right.
We don't have a deficiency in GLP, right? We have a problem that is not balanced in our body. And that's why that medication is helping you balance it. I don't have a problem with taking medications when they're needed. That's not a problem. It's just, these are all, shouldn't be long-term problems.
Sure.
It should be acute. Doctors should be there for acute problems and not these long-term issues we have.
Yeah.
So
keeping the balance. So speaking, you kind of talked a little bit about, you know, diabetes and everything, but carbs. Let's talk about carbs, because cyclists and endurance athletes, what do we consume on the bike? Sugar, 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 and more sugar. And I have been researching a lot lately about how that impacts, especially some of the elite athletes. If you think, I read the Tour de France riders were consuming like 120 to 135 grams of carbs per hour. Now, again, they are pushing themselves beyond what I think an average cyclist here in Indiana is doing. And I'm sorry if anyone disagrees with me, but what do you think about carbs? What are carbs doing to our gut, to our bodies and everything when we're on the bike?
Well, let's back up to the Tour de France riders. There's one kid, calling him a kid because I think he's in his 20s. He weighs 114 pounds.
Dang.
Okay. Do you think he has any muscle mass? No, he is just literally sticks and skin, right? Bones and skin. The Tour de France riders are so lean, they don't have a muscle to hold that glycogen, okay, right? The bigger the muscle, the bigger the sink for the glycogen. So, you know, people look at my husband and they think, wow, he's got really big muscles for a cyclist, but he has a really big sink for glycogen, right? So carbs aren't necessarily evil. Carbs aren't bad. Carbs are great for when you need that high end, you know, when you need to do that sprint, that your body's going to look for that glycogen, right? But if you have a muscle, that glycogen could be in there waiting to be used. Okay. And so I think the problem is for, you know, the last 20 years, the cycling community or the endurance community has done a really good job promoting carbohydrates.
Right.
Right. And so that's where you guys rest. Like if you need something, you're going straight to a carb, you're going straight to a, you know, a gel. But that's not necessarily something you have to do all the time. And so I think it's finding that balance of, okay, I don't need all of those carbs because I am sitting with enough muscle. That's why you should always weight train as a cyclist or an endurance athlete. You should definitely weight train, because the bigger the muscle, the bigger the sink, and the less you'll have to rely on the carbs.
When you're exercising.
Correct.
Got
when
it.
You're exercising. Yes. And so when you're not exercising, you don't, your body can only use 130 grams of carbs all day anyway. So if you're eating more than that, your body has to do something with it. And if you have more than 4 grams of sugar circulating through your body, your insulin says, I got to get rid of this sugar. So your insulin door opens up, it goes out there, grabs the sugar and pulls it in. So you want to make sure that you have that balance of protein, fats, and carbs, so you don't have that insulin spike that's too high or too often or stays high for a long time, because that just causes insulin resistance, cause type 2 diabetes, can cause, you know, heart attacks, strokes, all that stuff when you have too much insulin running around in your body. So that's why going back to the blood work, fasting insulin is the best test to take, and it's like $15, and no doctor ever tests your fasting insulin. That fasting insulin is the canary in the coal mine. If your fasting insulin is 10, you're going to have diabetes. I don't know, 5-10 years from now, but you're going to have it because it's too high. Anything 5 and under for your fasting insulin, you're eating a perfect diet. whatever your carbs are, fine. They're working because you have a low fasting insulin. So that means whatever you're eating, your body is able to use all of those things, fats, carbs, and protein in the way to create the most energy to live a life. So,
right. So carbs aren't necessarily bad.
No, they're
just
not.
Be mindful of what you're consuming as well as on the bike, as well as off the bike.
Right. And if you're healthy, you clearly have it figured out. But 2.7% of Americans are healthy.
Yeah.
So most of us are not figuring it out.
But that's why we have you. Okay. So my next topic, obviously I'm not a medical professional. You are, you know, a health enthusiast and coach, but when is it at a point when you need to go see a doctor? Obviously, you know, health is really important and we're not medical physicians, but like I talked to multiple people, when is it time to maybe go see somebody to do the blood work?
I think you should do blood work every 3 months. So, I mean, are you saying because you have acute pain or you have
insomnia? Like if something's going weird and wonky and you're like, what should I do? When should I go to VQ Labs to get, you know, a scan to help my health?
I think all that stuff is preemptive. So I would do that all the time. I would do a DEXA scan once a year, but if you're working towards a goal, I would do a DEXA scan every, 60, 90 days to see if it's, if you're hitting your goal or you're getting closer to your goal.
Sure.
But like anything acute, yeah, you got to go to the doctor. I get that. You have crazy high blood pressure and it's like, 200 over 100. Yeah, go to the doctor. Right. But there's a lot of things that you just need to monitor.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that I have found being a 56-year-old woman, as opposed to the 55-year-old woman I was last year, I went through menopause and all kinds of things went weird. And I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't have checked my blood every 3 months. Right. So I think a lot of times, and men too, they go through andropause. They don't like to hear that. And theirs is more gradual, but they go through the same thing we do. And all their, hormones can fall off a cliff just like ours. And so when you start feeling bad, that's when I say, go get blood tested. Yeah. Or if I feel great, go get blood tested. Cause I feel so great. Like what's going on? That kind of stuff.
Hormones play a huge part. As you just said, men and women have hormone changes as we get older.
Yes. And I don't know that everybody knows this, but men and women have the same hormones. We have testosterone. We have DHEA. We have pregnenolone. Men have progesterone and estradiol. I think a lot of times people are shocked that they don't think they have those hormones.
Right.
The same ones.
Right.
And they're all in different, percentages, but it's good to make sure you know what those numbers are. And if one of them's fallen off a cliff, it's going to make you feel bad.
Yeah. So I'm on your website, which I think is your website, which is it U-20. I wasn't sure how to pronounce it, but U-20.com. And I'm obviously looking at it. Is there anything else that I didn't talk about when it comes to your coaching that you would like our listeners to know? What's your elevator pitch right now? What are some other things that maybe I didn't talk about that you would like our listeners to know that, to get connected with you?
I think we hit everything in the sense that I'm just there to be complimentary to a doctor, or I'm complimentary to, a fitness, if you've got a trainer, that kind of stuff. I just like to help out in the nutrition space because I think there's so much garbage out there. And I just like to give information that is correct. I mean, there was a 2023 RCT, 30-year RCT that just came out about ketogenic diets. And
that's on my list.
I know. And for the longest time, people are like, ketogenic diets are so bad for you. They're so terrible for you. Well, they've been around for 200 years and they cure epilepsy and they cure diabetes. And they do these things with these ketogenic diets. They've cured cancer with them. And so it's sad because it takes an RCT to come out for people to finally believe things. And RCTs aren't always the best way because it takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of time. Sometimes they're not done right. And you just got to do what makes you feel, what your body likes and what makes it feel the best and what gives you the best results. And that diet isn't the same for everyone, right? I am a carnivore diet. I am a carnivore. I have been a carnivore for a while because I had problems eating vegetables and fruits. Do I think everybody should be like that? No, I think vegetables and fruits can definitely be part of your diet. But that's when that, you know, the tests come in to see if things are irritating your gut, and just elimination is the best way to start any kind of healing. Dr. Salisbury from the 1800s, you know, Salisbury steak, you know, he didn't have any medications to help people. And so he put them on an elimination diet, and the elimination diet was meat, salt, and water. And sure enough, it cured colitis and it cured things. So elimination is never going to be detrimental. And so that's kind of where I start with all my clients is let's start an elimination. What do we think is bothering you? And let's pull those things out first. And then we add things back in, you know, but that's what I like when people come to me because they have all these other people, you know, in their toolbox, right? They have a trainer and they have, multiple doctors and they have a dentist and they have, you know, an optometrist and all those things, but it's still not moving the needle.
Yeah. Yeah. So my next question is, and this is where you have to put your thinking cap on, what maybe a couple memories, obviously don't use your clients' names, but what are some great memories of success with clients that you want to share that might be helpful for our listeners to hear?
One is amazing young man. Found out stage 4 lung cancer, never smoked, young husband, young dad. And he had all of his, you know, doctors, and he just needed the nutrition, right? Part of it.
Sure.
And so I did the nutrition. His physicians did all the rest. And in my humble belief, I think nutrition is a super important part of all of that. And because of it, he is completely free of cancer and has been for, I think, 8 or 9 years.
That's great.
So again, I think it takes all of that, right? I think you can't say this doctor is going to fix it without making sure that the energy you're putting in your body is also optimized.
Right. Right. Any other memories?
A woman that wouldn't step on the scale because it was over 300 pounds. And so she wouldn't step on it because she doesn't know what she weighs. And in 7 weeks, she was down to 242.
Wow.
And running up and down 6 flights of stairs where she couldn't even walk up those stairs. The mobility she got back is amazing. And she never would have thought that that's how her life would be so fast, right? You know, people are like, oh, I don't like losing weight fast. Well, I don't care how fast or slow you lose weight because your body's doing it. You're right. I'm not doing it. You're not doing it. Your body's doing it. So, you know, she lost 60 pounds in like 7 weeks and now she's mobile and she's continually getting stronger and healthier. And another cool thing is too, when you eat the right way, your skin, you don't have that extra skin. That's a lot of times people get, oh, I don't want to lose 100 pounds because I'm going to have all this skin. Well, I have a woman that was 190 pounds, 5'4". She went to 128 pounds and there's no extra skin.
Interesting.
Shrink wrapped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love that. Your body will be optimized if you just get the stuff out of the way. Nope, right.
My cat. Sorry.
That's okay.
For our listeners, my cat just jumped on the video call.
Yeah. So, I mean, your body wants to be healthy. Your body wants to be in homeostasis. That's what it's meant to be. Sure. And so we're causing it to not be that way. Yeah. And so it's working its way back to homeostasis every day. It's working as hard as it can to get there. And you just have to take those obstacles out.
Yeah.
So it can.
This just popped into my head. I know some insurances cover nutritional counseling. Is that something that you work with, or is it all just out of pocket?
Health savings accounts work on my website. Yes, you can use
that
for me for sure.
Awesome.
And I do have people that use their health savings accounts for me with me.
That's great.
Yeah.
So the last question is, and sorry, my cat is in the background, and yes, he has a mustache.
He's so cute.
If you were here with me in person, he would not be out. He would be hiding because a lot of things terrify him. What are some basic words of wisdom that you can end our discussion about?
Monitor your blood and keep a food journal.
Yeah.
Food journals are 80% of the problem, because you'll think twice putting something in your mouth when you have to write it down.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So U-20.com, Chris Tanner, you are on Facebook and Instagram, LinkedIn. It looks like YouTube as well.
Yes.
Is there anything else that I missed that you want to talk about and let our listeners know?
No, I think, you know, we're all on this journey together.
Absolutely.
We got to get more than 2.7% of Americans healthy.
And sometimes you need somebody like you, Chris, to kind of, I know you said you don't hold hands, but a little bit of hand holding just to get you through, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Gen X is, you know, sometimes we have a hard time holding hands, but we can.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk about a lot of really interesting, but also kind of serious discussions and topics. And I'll get this edited, and I really appreciate you spending some time with me.
Thanks, Margaret. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We hope you really enjoyed this podcast. For more information about our organization and other future podcasts, visit www.bicycleindiana.org. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a really great day.